You are listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
Treachery. The ground team's true orders have been revealed. The team now prepares to undertake the mission to cover up Vascarium's breach of the Pact.
We open seeing clouds with lightning clashing between them and crackling to the ground in a strange sort of eerie plasma effect across the clouds. We know that this is the electromagnetic storms that we've heard talk of before. And slowly the camera pulls back and we see that we've been looking out a window of the command center at these plasma storms above. The group is taking a few minutes to get everything in order, do some preparation before they head out. And according to the information that Schrodinger was able to glean from the computer, we know that about 15 minutes from now, there'll be another sufficient opening that you should be able to make it outside, select a vehicle, and head off towards this illicit clandestine lab. What all are you folks doing as you're preparing for this escapade?
I think the Master Sergeant is looking through all their files to see if there's anything needing to be taken or got rid of, but he's also studying the map for like the fastest route to the vehicles, what's available, maybe like armory related things to see if we need to grab anything. Just kind of doing a whole list of making sure we are fully prepared and we have whatever we can salvage or get from this place.
So let's address that real quick. As you're looking at your options for vehicles, you note that you have essentially three options.
Oh boy.
You have a cargo vessel that is a little bit slower and less maneuverable, but you'd be able to take pretty much whatever equipment or items you wanted. And for the sake of mechanics, basically, if there's something that you feel like this fort should have, you can say, oh yeah, we loaded that on the ship. You can also select a military shuttle. It's average maneuverability and speed, and also comes outfitted with an anti-vehicle turret. And finally, there are a selection of personal speeders that you could either ride one at a time or have two doubled up onto a speeder.
So, that's just a question. If we choose any of these, except for the big cargo one, are we tying him tenfold carnage to the back like a giant hot air balloon and just dragging him while he flies?
Huh. Just choke him out.
No, I was thinking more of like a harness situation. Because he's so too big most of the time.
Due to Tenfold Carnage's size, he would be able to go on either the cargo vessel or the military shuttle and like ride that as a passenger. Mm. If you were to choose the bike situation, he would need to have his own bike.
I would love to see that.
Okay, but can we go back to just harnessing him in and tying him to the back and letting him float like a balloon behind
and just
us?
Shoot.
I mean, you definitely can.
Maybe there's going to be like forests and such that he could slam into and be damaged by.
If you want to keel haul one of your party members.
You know.
No, we need him.
I actually watched an episode of Nathan For You where they addressed this very situation.
If a gas sack alien was floating in the back of a speeder bike?
He was giving morbidly obese individuals horse rides, which would normally kill the horse. Unless you tied a lot of very powerful balloons to them to lift them up to lighten their body so they could ride the horse without injuring it. But because of trees, they had to take giant paddles to push away the branches so the balloons don't pop.
Okay, so could we do something like that?
I don't think we need to do something like that. He doesn't weigh a lot. He's gas.
Highly recommend the show.
But we need the giant paddles to prevent him from getting hurt.
I mean, as I mentioned before, you may keel haul your party members if you choose to do so.
Why can't we just take two shuttles?
Why don't we take two speeder bikes and an advanced thing?
I will not be able to drive if we do the
I'm not good at driving either.
Wait, am I the only one good at piloting? Then we'll probably need to take... What's your piloting?
Two.
Okay, I think we'll need to take the... Should we take the cargo or the, what was it, advance something?
So we've
a
got
a military shuttle.
Yeah, a military shuttle or a cargo cruiser.
I think the military shuttle
I mean,
should be fine.
You said we can take whatever we want on the cargo cruiser. Is there a limit to what we can take on the military shuttle?
On the military shuttle, it would probably be able to carry you and your equipment, but you wouldn't really be able to take much more from the fort.
We couldn't take the nuclear bomb.
No.
Okay. Wait, do they
Wait,
have
what?
One?
No.
Oh.
You got me all excited.
Can I have one?
You are a nuclear bomb.
We have nuclear bombs.
What if we tied 100 missiles to the outside of the shuttle?
You
what could possibly go wrong?
What if we keelhaul 100 missiles?
So the sergeant is like weighing the options between taking a cargo vessel or taking the military shuttle, and we just hear a computerized voice. Muser, Master Sergeant, in all 1,000 computer-simulated situations
I turn it off.
That's probably good. Don't trust those things.
I can't deal with that right now. No, I turn it back on. I want to listen to what it says.
In all 1,000 simulated situations of towing missiles behind the cargo cruiser resulted in 100% casualty rate.
Right. I'll take that under advisement.
I like those odds.
He looks down at a dead desk and considers something.
See, but what the computer doesn't tell you is that out of 2,000, 99% of them left in casualty.
That is true.
99%.
That makes sense with the odds. But I don't like hearing about the odds. We're not going to do that.
Put the missiles back tenfold.
I will keep one just in case.
Are we all readied up? I've got what we need.
I'm always ready.
All right, let's board up. Who here can take the gun? The turret seat?
Not me.
How big is the turret seat?
What's that require?
So for operating the turret, I would allow either a piloting check or a ranged strike.
Couldn't be me.
Not I mean, me.
It could be me.
Treating it as a simple weapon.
Oh.
That would be me.
I think that's Tenfold's job. Then.
Tenfold's just, he can't fit, but like all of his tentacles just go into the turret seat and just take control. And his eye just kind of like eye stalks.
And we cut.
You gotta kick it.
What?
Kick it.
Kick what? He hits it. And then it turns on.
That's
like
see,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. Vroom.
Vroom.
And with that, you are off. Thanks to Schrodinger, what you all see on the map in front of you is a reasonably detailed chart of the journey from the fort to the lab that you're heading to. Because of Schrodinger and the Master Sergeant's research, you have an idea of the spaces that you might be traveling through, as well as sort of like the terrain, but you don't know what difficulties or specific issues you might run into in those spaces. So you'll see on the map, just kind of to give an illustration for the audience, it's not a hex map, it's not a square map, it's more like a zone map, like you'd get from Risk or something. So each of these spaces will be an equal amount of time or effort to get through. And as we will see as we get deeper into the mechanics for this segment, it will become important what zone you're in, but where in that zone doesn't really matter. As the ship is beginning to take off and heading off into the huge, tall, low-gravity-shaped jungles of Vesk 6, Vorp, you had something you wanted to do.
Yeah, so as we're moving, Vorp has no piloting or computer skills to speak of, so he's just kind of supervising. It's a job that he's well suited for. But as he's sitting there, just kind of observing, Tenfold Carnage, you hear in your mind Vorp's voice through the bond that you're connected to him with. Tenfold Carnage.
Yes, Commodore Vorp.
I've been pondering your thoughts on this research that we're going to dispose of, and how you mentioned that it would be such a waste to just destroy something potentially so valuable.
The swarm was only able to be taken down by alliance between the Vescarium and the Pact Worlds. That level of carnage is rarely seen.
I agree. I also agree that it would be a great waste to just destroy such a weapon. It could be used for great things. So, if you have the opportunity to, discreetly, mind you,
I would gladly release it upon the galaxy.
That's not what I meant.
Forp is reconsidering some of his life choices in this moment. He may be treacherous, but he doesn't want that.
Not like that.
Yeah, wait, no, stop. Well, if you have an opportunity to salvage any of it and give it to me, I'll make sure that you're rewarded with whatever violence you want.
I can capture one of the swarmlings alive for you.
Great. Whatever is you're able to do discreetly.
Would you like our compatriots killed?
Not yet. Probably not ever, but I'm not going to take it off the table entirely.
Understood. And if they order your execution?
Then it's guns free.
Understood.
You and I feel a great partnership.
Believe as you will. Commodore Vorp, I am your humble servant.
The dead body hanging from his chest just swings around.
Very good, very good. Now, remember, discretion.
I'm always discreet.
As the ship is heading on its course, Master Sergeant, you're the one flying the device?
Yes.
So I'll ask you, you see ahead of you three different zones that you could move into. The leftmost option is a light forest that is going up to...
That's such a bright forest.
It's like not quite as dense as it could be. On the left side of it is a sheer cliff that goes up, and it seems to be approaching a lake in between you and your destination.
Is this vehicle hovering?
Yes, it is a hover vehicle.
I'd like to go over the lake.
You can definitely do that. Yes, once you reach the lake zone, you can fly over the lake.
Love it.
The second option you would have would be just lighter forest to the south of the lake. That's kind of skirting around it, but it doesn't go next to the cliff. And your final option would be to go all the way around the lake and swing through the clearing of the river that's coming
at the
end of it.
The lightest forest.
Yes, the lightest of the forests.
Good thing I brought my sunglasses.
As a presumed native of this planet, would I be able to know of like the treacheries that await us aside from evil storms of doom?
What kind of lores do you have?
Warfare
lore. Well,
I have Palunis one.
I can give you any lore that you want.
Can I have
for a minute?
Can I have my planet lore?
Yeah.
Would I be trained in it?
You would be an expert in it, actually.
Cool. He's gonna shove all the information about your home planet.
Is it based off of
brain.
Intelligence? I take it.
It's whatever. I don't know what skill you would use, but you would become expertly trained.
It's intelligence.
So that would put my planet lore at 13.
Go ahead and give me a planet lore check.
All right, I will use my Akashic font focus spell to give him expertise.
26.
All right, so with the 26, you know that the forests are generally reasonably safe. I mean, nothing's safe here in the wilderness. But flying over the lake would put you at risk for a large sea creature that you know lives in such... places.
That is exactly what I wanted to know.
But it sounds fun.
Sergeant Ziv, maybe don't go over the
That's
lake.
That's Master Sergeant Ziv.
Don't. Not right now, man. Don't go
He's
over the lake.
He's earned that rank. You need to address him appropriately, please.
My father, Sergeant Ziv.
Master Sergeant Ziv.
He went to school an extra 2 years to get that master.
I didn't go to school.
Just don't avoid flying over the lake.
You're right. I will not avoid flying over
no,
the lake.
No, we will get eaten.
Yeah, there's a lot of little bugs all over this place. I'm sure they gather at the water.
Giant sea monster in the lake.
That sounds exciting.
Eats our ship.
We'll just give it an offering.
That's not how this works.
That dead Vesk hanging around Carnage's neck. We could throw him in the water as bait.
I intended to keep it as a souvenir, but okay.
Look, just go to the shallow parts of the lake if we're going to go over the lake.
Well, okay then.
So, Master Sergeant, which of those three zones
to
would you
right.
like to fly to? You're heading for the one that cuts over the river that's flowing out of the end of the lake?
No, I've changed my mind. I'm going down the middle.
Down the middle. All right. So, the
Option,
lighter forest.
About what's behind door number two?
The lake. The southern half of the lake.
Sounds good.
As you start heading into those woods, there's super tall trees all around you. It's not as dense as it could be, and it's not as dense as you know it is in patches nearby, but it is definitely forest. Mm. So you start getting into the dappled sunlight shining through the canopy of these long trees, and you all begin to hear a beep, 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 beep from the computers.
Wow, what does it say? Carnage, keep your eye out for small furry cannibals. What does this say?
It is the radar warning you that there are vehicles approaching from your six.
Carnage, there's vehicles behind us. Give us covering fire.
The small furry cannibals. Let us kill.
Commodore, if you could provide us covering with your spells.
Yes!
So what we're going to do now is we're going to enter a really weird hybrid vehicle subsystem. So this is a fun part because Paizo Starfinder playtest doesn't really have rules for what we're going to do. But what we're going to do is an integral part of Starfinder, and they have asked us to give it a try and see how things feel. So we are going to do a vehicle chase, but we're going to kind of play things by ear. So I have some stuff that I've got worked out, but there is also going to be a lot of back and forth of you saying, hey, I want to do this, and then me saying, that makes sense, let's do it like that. But we are going to go ahead and get into initiative.
Do we all need to roll?
Yes.
Would you like me to roll piloting?
Yes.
Would everyone else roll normal initiative?
Unless you've got an argument for a different skill.
Gun?
I vote Jack gets gun.
That's fair. All right. Vorp.
28.
Tenfold Carnage.
18.
Master Sergeant.
21.
Schrodinger.
20.
All right. So now that you are aware of these vehicles that are approaching on your six, Vorp, you're the fastest to act.
Of course I am. But what do I see?
So at this point, the vehicles are not within line of sight, but you are registering them on the radar. If you'd like to make a computer's check, then you could try to download some more information by scanning them.
Well, here's the thing, Jordy. I'm really bad at computers.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Vorp still has an AOL email address.
Competitive nature. If you were to attempt a skill check, I think as a reaction, I can attempt that same skill check with a +2.
Oh, well, that would be a lot better because you're better at computers than I am.
I do need to double check that if it's a reaction or not, though.
It's a reaction, and it's from Patra.
Patra, yeah.
Okay.
Once per hour.
Yeah.
So well, that's really good. I'm actually going to, because that's much better than anything I'll be able to do. So, sure, I'll try a computer check.
I believe in you.
Come on, big money, no whammies. Big money, no whammies.
Wow, you suck.
17.
I don't know if I get to know what he gets or not.
So, Vorp, you get on the computer and you see those blips on the radar, and it doesn't really give you a lot of information. You can't aren't even really able to determine the size. So you start trying to instigate a scan on there, but then you realize this is not the codex you're familiar with. You don't know how to input the commands on here. You
what
just don't
get
have it.
Out of the, you're going to mess everything up. Get
wait,
out of the,
no, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing.
You don't. Let me do it. Do I get my +1 from the item bonus?
Yes.
Okay. So that's 14, 15, 16. That's a 4.
Look at this guy over here doing math.
35.
Oh, God.
So that's a critical success. So you plug your cybernetic arm implant into the computer system, and you just instantly, fingers flying across the keyboard, you're able to pull up like an enhanced image, and everyone who's looking at the screen is able to see speeder bikes, like from the scene at the end, in the middle of Return of the Jedi. It's speeder bikes, but on each of them is one Vesk who's piloting it, and then there's another that's like standing on the back with a gun at the ready.
Because I got at least one degree of success higher than he did, it doesn't count against my frequency in using this ability.
That's awesome. I will say, you do all that, and it's very impressive, but Warp goes, I started it for you. I got...
Sure you did, and I'm going to relay the information to my compatriots.
All right, so Vorp, okay. That was your first action. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
Cool. You said these things aren't even in line of sight of us right now.
So I'm going to be working with four different states of distance for this system. We're going to have distant, which means they're in another zone, that you're aware of them, but they're in another zone.
Okay.
Then there's far, which means they're in the same zone as you. You can see them, but you can't interact. They're too far away to do anything. Near means they are in interactable range. You can try taking shots at them and such. And then the final distance would be engaged, meaning you could theoretically shoot a grapple cable or jump to their ship.
Okay. And they are currently...
They are currently distant. They're okay. In a different zone.
All right. So I don't know what else there is for me to do, honestly, at this point.
You could aid. You could get an aid going and then wait to see what you can do with an aid later. Because aid is a one-action activity.
Yeah. That's probably as good as anything, honestly. Yeah, I will ready an aid. Do I need to roll for that now or when it happens?
No, you need to give like a trigger.
Okay.
And then you'll use your reaction on your to activate it.
I will aid Tenfold Carnage whenever one of our targets gets within firing distance.
You'll aid one of his attacks?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Then the next turn is going to go to one of the speeder bikes.
Ooh.
And they're going to try to see if they can catch up with you. So mechanically, a bit of transparency here for these new systems. He's going to try to take a two-action drive to move double its speed. But this has the reckless trait, so he has to make a check first to see if he loses control. Okay, he got a nat 20 on maintaining control.
Nice. I mean, good for him. I'm excited that a nat 20 happened.
So now he's going to make a piloting check. If he succeeds at this, he'll move from distant, skip over far, and be near to you. Yeah, he doesn't succeed at that. So he is able to move forward into far, but he is not near.
Okay.
And then that will actually end his turn. So then it goes to the Master Sergeant.
Okay, so because of the way drive is set up in the piloting, you feel like it's not worded the way it's supposed to be worded, as it gives weird caveats for using one, two, or three actions to pilot when you could just use the one action piloting several times. So we're assuming you can only use piloting once per turn, and you choose how many actions you want to commit to it at the start. So that's how we're going to be playing it. So in this case, what would you say that speeder that got close to us, what is his distance from us now?
So he is technically far, which means that you can see him. He's in your sector. But unless you have something particularly long range, you're not close enough to interact with each other. Okay. And by particularly long range, I'm thinking something that's got like 500 feet or something.
If I used a one action drive, how close would that get me to it if I were to like drive at it?
So one action drive would change one spacing between you, so it would get you to near.
Near, which would put him in range for arc weapons and
yes.
Such. I'm going to do one action piloting to one I'm going to do a one action drive towards it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do a quick turn and just drive right at it.
So go ahead and give me a piloting check.
16.
So with a 16... That would be a failure. You don't lose control of the vehicle, but you're not able to turn it around and drive towards him. So instead, you continue forward, and you end up on the closest edge of the next zone.
A 16 is a failure to drive?
Also, the DC depends on where you're in, because right then you were in a wooded area, so it's a higher DC there.
Okay. All right. Then I will prepare to aid an attack against a speeder bike if it comes close.
All right, Schrodinger.
I'm going to delay until one of them get actually close enough for any of my stuff.
All right. Tenfold carnage.
I'm going to hold my actions to attack the moment one gets in range.
All right. Then it gets to the last two speeder bikes. So the first of the two is going to attempt a three-action drive. So this is reckless, and he takes a -5 penalty on the check to maintain control. But if he can pass all of those checks, then he can go 3 times his speed. So he's going to make his check to maintain control. All right, so he loses control.
So we're not going to have to do nothing.
So what that means is, first off, he does drift forwards, but not as far as he wanted. He just moves one tick forward. So he's now comparable to the previous bike that moved forward. However, he now technically he drifts like 45 degrees and he does not have control of the vehicle. For him to pilot again, he'll have to spend an action to regain control. And then it moves on to the other speeder bike's turn, who's also going to make a 3-action attempt. Ooh, he is able to maintain control. And then he's going to make his piloting check. Same story for him. He maintains control, but then he got a 3 on the die to try to pilot. So all 3 of them are currently distant to you and quite a ways behind your ship.
We don't get
We're going
eaten.
The wrong direction of where we said we were going to go.
Yeah.
Since when do sea monsters eat jellyfish?
All right. Vorp, it's your turn.
Okay, well, considering my turn was pretty well as useless, I'm just going to delay until they're close enough for me to do something.
Okay. So it's back to that first speeder bike, who has successfully made all of his checks so far. He's noticing that his allies are having difficulty with that 3-action drive, so he's going to just try a 2-action drive again. So he makes his check to maintain control, since it is reckless, but he doesn't have a penalty. Just barely keeps control. And then he's going to make his piloting check to fly. And he passes that. So he is able to pull up, and he is now far to you, but he is in the same zone as you are. So that's the end of his turn. He's kind of keeping up to where he can see you, but he's never really getting in close enough for you to engage with him. Master Sergeant.
So it looks like to perform a stunt is part of a drive action, right? Like, I wouldn't be able to drive and then perform a stunt. Because part of a stunt says drive your vehicle.
Yes.
And that's just what penalty you take to drive.
Yeah, so you would do a normal drive. And I think the way that they would want this run would be you choose how many actions you want to drive with.
And
then for each of those, then you do a stunt. So, like, if you want to do a 3-action back off, then each check you would do for the 3-action back off takes a -1 penalty, and you move half that speed.
I think you can only move your 1-action drive for the stunt.
I don't think so, because the last sentence in stunt, if the drive action and stunt are both reckless, you must attempt the piloting check to keep control of the vehicle twice.
It's possible, but stunt itself takes 1 action.
So wouldn't you just spend 2 actions to drive and then stunt?
That could be possible. So if you do 1 action to stunt and 1 to drive, then it's just reckless driving with a stunt. But if you do 2 actions, then it would be reckless. Yeah, the second sentence starts with drive your vehicle and choose a stunt, which makes me think of the wording where it's like you're using a feat and it's like make a strike.
Well, I don't know. Either way, yeah. I only wanted to move 1. I don't know if I want a stunt, because the way the enemies are and how they're driving, it doesn't feel like they're threatening us in any way, so we could just keep going and leave them alone. There's no point. It doesn't feel like there's a point to me trying to engage them at this point. So,
I agree.
I'm just gonna do a 2-action drive.
All right, so the 2-action drive is reckless, so go ahead and make a check to maintain control.
So I roll piloting?
Yes.
18.
You can maintain control.
And then I will pilot with a 26.
Ooh. out here across the lake, because that's in the zone you're in right now. You're not over the water yet at this point, since you've just barely entered that zone. But it is clear enough from trees that that is a critical success.
So how far do I move?
Twice your speed.
How many squares can I move?
Oh, yes. So we're not doing squares exactly. You'll be able to get to essentially a far in the next zone that you choose. So you can go to any adjacent zone and call it far.
Then I'll move up to where we're coming around the bend of the lake.
And avoiding flying over the water itself?
Yes, at this point. We will have to fly over a river that's by the cliff, that's cliffs to our left. And Perfect. For my last action, I will also help prepare to aid.
All right, Schrodinger.
There's like nothing. I'm going to attempt to aid Master Sergeant Ziv in his drive check. That's one action or two?
One.
And then I'm going to prepare a single... What do I want to prepare?
So, a suggestion, because this is the fuzzy part that we're kind of just making things up as we go. I think it would make sense for you, being a master of computers and already plugged into the system, to do some like calculations to assist the autopilot that would ease the DC or give bonuses to the Master Sergeant's piloting checks.
Would that be my aid attempt, or would that be an extra action?
I think that would just be a different action.
Okay. I'm going to do that thing you said with the autopilot.
All right, so go ahead and give me a computer's check for that assisting the navigation of the autopilot.
I'm going to use the one hero point we get. That's better. 28.
So that's a success. Until something causes you to need to make a quick adjustment to your flight, as long as it's normal, smooth piloting, then the Master Sergeant will get a +1 item bonus to his piloting checks.
Okay. And then I will ready the aid action, and then nothing is close enough for me to affect it with anything, so I will just not have a last action.
All right. Tenfold Carnage.
I would like to take the gun that's mounted to the ship, and I would like to start shooting the trees to try and make them start blocking the path behind us.
All right, make a range strike check.
I like that, Jack.
Range strike, 32.
How many trees would you like to shoot?
You should get a missile and just shoot the cliff and just bring the cliff down.
We are actually very close to the cliff.
We are.
Yeah, I like that idea. I'm going to take one of my fragmentation grenades, and I'm going to start shooting it at the cliff to like make a rock slide behind us.
All right. So that grenade smashes onto a part of the cliff, and at first a few rocks are coming down. You're thinking, that's not bad. And then just like the start of an avalanche, just like half the cliff face just shears off. And in the low gravity, it's just eerie to just kind of watch everything just in slow motion falling. And there's this huge debris field of just rocks and pebbles drifting in the low gravity behind
you. Cool. If only there was a small village below.
Take that, local ecology. This reminds me of my time on Titarium 4.
It's a good planet. I don't know what you want me to say, sir.
You don't have to say anything.
All right, and now it goes to the two speeder bikes that are in the back.
Jordy, please roll well so we can do something.
Here we go.
Something.
Three action drive. Reckless with a -5.
So many
Nat plans. 20 on the reckless.
Hey!
Piloting check.
That was...
19 on the die.
Okay. We're getting somewhere.
So the first speeder bike is too slow to react to all of the debris that Tenfold Carnage has spewed out into it and just comes bursting out of the trees into the debris field. Tenfold Carnage, I'd like you to give me 2d6.
Heck yeah.
That's what you get for doing three actions.
9.
All right.
You said 2d6, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 9.
And the second speeder bike behind him is going to attempt the same thing. He just barely passes the reckless check, but then fails the piloting check.
I like that guy.
So he's He's way behind. He's just barely made it into the second zone while all the action is happening in zone three.
I like the fact that because he's like failing his driving, but he's maintaining his reckless, he's just swerving the whole time, but he's keeping it under control, but going nowhere.
Jory, I actually don't think that's how that works, because I think in the drive, in the description, it does say on a success, you move up to your speed and can turn normally. On a failure, you still move up to your speed, but only in a straight line. And actually, if you crit fail, you move up to the straight line, but you also become uncontrolled.
Oh, that's neat. So, like, even if they're rolling poorly, they don't just get left in the dirt.
Wait, is uncontrolled the condition that makes where on their turn they have to spend an action to regain?
Oh, boy. It's a
whole paragraph.
It's a two-paragraph. Oh. It's two paragraphs,
we don't
actually
have time for that right now.
In short, it just starts drifting. They no longer control where it's going. It just starts, like, drifting off in the last direction it was moving. If it's on difficult terrain, it might start slowing down. It might crash into obstacles. And they have to spend an action getting it back under control. And depending on the situation, they might have to make a check to get it back under control.
Oh, wow.
With all that being said, yes, this guy crit failed. So he's going to move his full three actions and just uncontrollably just burst out of the trees and smash headlong into this debris field. Tenfold Carnage, can you give me another 2d6? And this time he's going to take double.
These guys really suck.
7 doubled to 14.
Ooh.
Treasonous traitors aren't often good at what they do.
But they were part of your army at one point.
Yeah, but now they're treasonous.
So yeah, the two Vesk that are on...
It's the treason. It makes them
dumb. The treason makes them incompetent.
It shows the flaws in loyalty and the flaws in their morality, which means they suck.
I couldn't agree more.
If those guys could hear you right now, they'd be really upset. As it is, they're bloody. Vorp, it's your turn.
It's my turn.
And these guys are both within near distance.
Oh, goody. Finally, I can do something, assuming they're close enough for me to cast a spell at them.
Yeah, we're kind of playing fast and loose with distance here.
Okay. For my first action, I would like to attempt a recall knowledge on one of the drivers, if possible.
Okay, go. What's your society bonus?
My society bonus? Never mind, I'm not going to, because my society is +1, so I don't feel like... That's necessarily the best thing.
Sure, we're fighting the Vescarium.
Anyway, I know what I'm going to do. And what that thing is that I'm going to do is I'm going to target the closest of the pilots. And I'm going to cast Void Whispers on them. I need a will save. To DC 21.
Now, they're both kind of the close. Do you want to target the one that's uncontrolled right now or the one that's in control?
Oh, the one that's in control for sure. That way I can debilitate the one that's not debilitated.
All right, so the one who's in control fails his will save.
Oh, nice.
Great. Void Whispers. The target hears dark mysteries from beyond the stars that disorient its mind. The target begins to wander aimlessly, using each action to step once per round. When it moves, the target takes the safest route. It doesn't enter hazardous terrain. The spell has a duration of 1 minute or until the target is attacked or otherwise directly threatened in any way.
So he doesn't hurt himself. So he's not just going to step off of the moving speeder bike.
But what's that mean?
You've got one action.
Oh! I was waiting for you to describe... If anything happened about...
It's not his turn yet.
It would be on his turn.
You can see him looking a little confused.
Okay. I guess I'll use my last action to aid Tenfold Carnage in his next attack that he attempts.
All right. Then it gets to the other speeder bike, the one who had previously been keeping up better pace with you guys. Now he's left behind on the opposite side of the lake.
Oh, yeah, he's far.
He's going to try and take the most direct route to catch up to you and cut across the lake.
Do it. I want this monster.
He's going to take a three-action drive. If he's successful in all he attempts, he will become engaged with you.
Is it a rock lobster?
Rock lobster!
So he's going to make his control check. He maintains control.
Maintains control.
Now he's going to attempt his piloting check. With the open space of the lake, he does succeed.
Oh, yay. Does he get eaten by a nom-nom?
By a nom-nom?
Only time will tell.
That is now the canonical name of the
monster. He is a nom-nom.
Nom-nom.
So this speeder bike zooms across the lake, and as it's crossing over the deepest part, this blobby fish-like monster with just serrated teeth in its maw.
Excuse you. Anom.
Anom bursts out of the water and snaps down on one of the stabilizing fins of the speeder, but because it's going fast enough, it just kind of wrenches that out of the Nom's mouth and is able to catch up with your ship, and the Nom goes back down chewing on that stabilizer fin.
Wow.
And it's done some damage to the bike.
Watching your hand movements, I feel like I just watched Jaws. Like, I don't feel like I need to see it anymore.
Great.
I want to watch Jaws with an arm now.
And I will extend my congratulations to you all, for you are now engaged with the speeder bike.
Yay.
That's the end of his turn, so it's now the Master Sergeant's turn.
I'm going to do the smart thing here, guys.
And not
I'm
going
to use one action. It's stop. And then I'm going to pull up right next to that guy, and I'm going to say, get him! I'm going to use one action, get him. And then, presuming I had my pistol in my hand, I'm just going to fire. Which will activate Get'em's lead by example. Laser pistol. That is a 25.
That's a hit.
Alright. That means, because I attacked, I don't even have to hit for this to happen. But I get a +4 damage modifier, and all of you get a +2 bonus
nice.
Against this guy. So, the laser pistol.
+2 to hit or +2 damage?
Damage. Oh, love it. Oh, love it. That is 15 points of fire damage.
You get this guy blasted straight in his arm, and now he's like, one arm is hanging loose, and he's trying to control the speeder with his other arm.
Ha-ha! That's the end of my turn.
Because you got a successful attack on his ship, I'm going to call the ship clumsy for the sake of piloting.
Oh, nice.
All right, Schrodinger, it's your turn.
Has the guy that he hit with the Void Whispers had a turn yet?
Not yet.
Darn.
He will go after you and after Tenfold Carnage.
Schrodinger, finish that one off.
And how's the one he just shot looking, aside from dangling an arm?
He's looking like he might just crash, just passing out. He's not looking good.
Get him! Get him!
Okay. I'm going to spend one action to create my radiant field around the one that's uncontrolled. It's 100 feet. Is that still good?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to spend another action to force him to make a, I believe, a fortitude save for a DC 21.
A regular success.
Okay. He is dazzled. For one round.
Doesn't that make everything concealed?
Yes.
Yeah.
In multiple realities, he's hit his head on the bike.
And then I'm when Master Sergeant said, what'd you say?
Finish him off.
I'm just going to point my gun at the guy and shoot at him.
All right.
Now he has a -1 to his AC and reflex.
24.
That's a regular success.
Nice.
And you do 2 extra damage to him.
Okay.
Because I'm just so charismatic.
11 points of fire damage.
All right, and your pistol hits the pilot on his other arm, and he, like, loses control. He, from the momentum, slides off and falls off the bike on the right, and then the bike starts, like, moving out of control. The gunner that's on the back tries to grab the controls and stabilize the bike, but it's nowhere near in time, and the whole thing just pitches nose down and crashes into the sand on the side of the lake. And you watch just as the gunner's like standing back to his feet, Anom just.
There are 2 guys on those?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
2 fortitude saves, sir. 2 guys on a bike, and you only give me 1 save.
You never even referenced the amount of people out there.
I referenced it at the beginning. All right, the gunner is blinded.
Good.
Bold of you to think I was paying attention at the start of this combat.
That was the one that was engaged, right?
Yes, the engaged one is now dead.
That's unfortunate.
Take the ring.
The wedding's off.
Does it qualify as a widow?
No.
All right, Tenfold Carnage.
So those other 2, what's their distance?
Okay, so both of them are near. They're not close enough that you could jump onto their ship, but they are close enough that you can interact with them with your turret.
Question, what's their proximity to each other?
They are near to each other as well.
If you damage the one that I cast the spell on, that spell will end.
You may want to delay until after that one's turn.
If they're near to each other,
They might just both end up murdering themselves.
Yeah, I'll just wait until after they go.
All right, so the one that's been charmed by Vorp, it's his turn. And he goes, hang on, here, take over. And he starts trying to switch seats with the gunner. I'm going to ask them both to make a reflex save with this sudden unorthodox maneuver.
I didn't pass basic flight training.
I have to figure out how to adjudicate this, but it's beautiful.
Ward.
So the ship becomes uncontrolled.
Cool.
As they both, like, successfully swap places. Now, does he have to step every turn or every action?
It was a regular fail, so using each action to step once per round.
That's what I thought. And as soon as they've swapped places, he goes, wait, no, wait, hold on. He starts, like, pulling the guy away.
Listen, man, this wasn't part of the training.
That's what it says. Yeah, and which is, yeah, each action once per round.
So he only has to do it once. Wait.
Each what? Action once per
that's
round?
That's bizarre.
That's what it says.
That's a weird
what
wording.
Is this from?
Void Whispers. Third level occult spell.
Let me look at it in the PDF.
It's third level, so that does sound appropriate for a third level, but that's a weird wording.
Using each action to step once per round.
Knowing how Pathfinder does its spells, it probably means it must use at least one of its actions once per round to step. Because otherwise that should have the incoherent...
It does have the incapacitation
trait.
Oh,
it does? Okay, mm-hmm. Then never mind. I take that back.
Yeah.
No, I think the power
is... It's in a weird place where it could mean using one action to step per round, or it could mean using each action to step...
I think
I don't know about the once per round part.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think
it's weird.
Just weird wording because it's a third level power. So if it was just one action, I don't think that's...
But it
I
does
think
have
it's
the
whole turn.
You really
trait.
Think it's the whole turn?
Galaxy Exploration Manual, page 115, Starfinder 1st Edition, has Void Whispers. On its turn, when it fails, on its turn, it does nothing except whisper incoherently and move half its speed in a random direction. So I finally finished thinking through the ramifications of all of this, and I'm going to kind of just roll things back a little bit. At the start of their turn, the pilot's like... Wait, hold on, here, swap with me, and swaps with the gunner, who's like, what are you doing, and moves up to the front, and the ship is continuing to move on the same course that it's been, because no one's steering, and the pilot's like, wait, hold on, starts moving him back, and as they're doing this, the ship just crashes into the cliff wall ahead of you that you've been flying towards that the Master Shards stopped, so this ship just zooms past you and just smashes into the wall and explodes.
Those idiots. Oh. Treasonous fools. This is why you don't commit treason, friends.
Tenfold Carnage, would you like to jump in now or wait for the other cruiser? Or the other speeder?
I'll wait for the other speeder.
All right.
See if he kills himself on accident.
No, I want him to get close so I can board it.
The other speeder is going to attempt a single drive action to get engaged.
Dazzled wouldn't do anything, yeah.
Nah.
So first thing I'm going to do
right.
is I'm going to roll concealment to see if he overshoots.
That's fair, I guess.
Okay, he beats concealment.
That's
he got
fair.
A 15. So now he's going to make his drive check. All right, he passed it. So he gets within range, and with the third action, the gunner is going to take a shot at Tenfold Carnage.
You mean attempt to?
He's blind.
He's going to try.
He's blind.
He doesn't even know where you are. He just takes a shot.
He's right there. Where are they? Tell me where they are. They're right there to our right. Which way is right?
Let's see. We were saying that was hidden, right?
Yes. So 50%. DC 11. Did he pass?
11 on the die.
Oh, lame.
I mean, we're pretty big, so firing blindly in our direction. I am going to... Can I use this? Let me know if I can. Because they're targeting our ship, right?
Yes.
Can I use... No, I have to target an ally. Never mind. I was going to say, can I use Watch Out?
You can raise the AC difficulty of hitting Tenfold Carnage specifically.
I guess I'll do that. Watch out! They're firing! So you get a +2 AC bonus.
And the bullet just ricochets off the casing of the ship and just out in the water and out in the lake we just see...
Ah, you treacherous bachelors.
They're bachelors?
They will be soon.
No, I thought they were engaged.
That's, they're engaged.
Yes, and then when you die, you'll be bachelors.
Tenfold Carnage, it's your turn.
I love a love story.
That's how that works. Love story.
Yes, I am.
These two are engaged.
How does boarding work?
So, for the sake of keeping things moving, we'll say boarding is a single action. You just leap between ships.
Okay. But we've come to a stop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not as cool. Okay, this is what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to take my stellar cannon, and I'm just going to aim it, and I'm going to shoot, and then...
Who needs the anti-vehicle turret? You are the anti-vehicle turret.
I am the brute squad.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to do two actions to do an area attack on them and their speeder.
Nice.
I had previously used a aid action to help him. I don't know if this is even...
I will be making an attack after this.
Okay.
22 is the DC.
Oh, that's right. I roll.
Joy's just sitting over there listening to us like, yeah, this is... Come on, guys.
All right, so the pilot fails... Hold on.
Yes, the pilot failed.
The pilot failed.
The gunner.
I'm trying to figure out how the gunner being blind is going to impact this.
-4 if it involves perception as his main sight.
Yeah, he succeeds. I looked at giving him a penalty, and even the penalty I was looking at wasn't quite enough to drop it to a fail.
It's like Han Solo dodged a ton of bullets in episode 6, and he was blind.
Because he's cool.
That's fair. Looks cool.
Jack, how much damage are they taking?
Did they both fail?
The pilot failed and the gunner succeeded.
3.
Ooh!
I rolled 2d10 and got a 3.
He got a 1 and 2.
That's rough, buddy.
I know. But then I'm going to follow up with a primary target against probably the pilot.
All right.
Okay, and I'm aiding in this, I believe. What do I need to roll to aid him?
What do you think are you doing to help him?
Get him! Get him!
That's my line.
Make a diplomacy check.
Cool. I can deal with that. 28.
Yeah, that'll do it. You'll get a +1 circumstance bonus. Technically, you need a feat to aid with diplomacy, but I don't like the way that they do aid anyway, and I'm rethinking it.
I feel like aid should always
be the bonus?
Inapplicable.
A +1 bonus for me.
22.
That's a success.
Oh, that's better.
That's 12 points of piercing damage.
Much better.
And then I'm going to activate Punishing Salvo for another strike. For anyone curious, primary attack after I make an area strike or an auto fire strike, I can make one attack against one of the people in the radius at no multi-attack penalty. Punishing Salvo, if my last action was an area fire attack, I can then follow up with a range strike that ignores the unwielding trait, of which the Stellar Cannon does have, and it does not increase the bonus for this strike either.
Oh my gosh!
So you're making three attacks with no map?
Yeah, this one is not treated. This one is not a new area attack, and is treated as a strike made using primary target.
That's so good.
It's 3 actions to do this whole thing.
But it's still...
That's still good.
Good.
That's 3 attacks with no map. That's amazing.
27.
That's a hit.
Nice.
Actually, no. That's a crit.
Oh, that's better.
There you go.
Yeah.
32 damage.
Oh!
So, you get off that turret, you pull out your stellar cannon, and just one rocket bursts, and they're like, ooh, ah, it's dirt, like trying to wipe the incendiary flechettes. A second one comes, and they're like, okay, well, we still got this. And another one just goes like straight in the exhaust pipe, and then fireworks.
Yes, good, Carnage, good.
Glorious.
And with that, you are now floating peacefully near the shore of this dangerous lake with wreckage of destroyed speeder bikes littering the ground beneath you.
We should probably continue.
Yep, he starts turning on.
You gotta kick it.
Do I have to kick it every time?
Yes.
Get him! I'm gonna use one action, get him. And then, presuming I had my pistol in my hand, I'm just going to fire. Which will activate K Geddums, lead by example.
I really like this play.
I just like him pulling up next to your ship, and he's like, hey, you, and you just stop, and he's like, wait.
He just looks back, and then looks forward, and there's a cliff.
With rocks.
With rock and stuff. All right. Laser pistol. That is a 25.
That's a hit.
All right. That means, because I attacked, I don't even have to hit for this to happen. But I get a plus 4 damage modifier, and all of you get a plus 2 bonus nice. Against this guy. So, the laser for sure.
Plus 2 to hit or plus 2 damage?
Damage. Oh, love it. Oh. That is 15 points of fire damage.
You get this guy blasted straight in his arm, and now he's like, one arm is hanging loose, and he's trying to control the speeder with his other arm.
Ha-ha! That's the end of my turn.
Because you got a successful attack on his ship, I'm going to call the ship Clumsy for the sake of piloting.
Oh, nice.
All right, Schrodinger, it's your turn.
Has the guy that he hit with the Void Whispers had a turn yet?
Not yet.
Darn.
He will go after you and after Tenfold Carnage.
Schrodinger, finish that one off.
And how's the one he just shot looking, aside from dangling an arm?
He's looking like he might just crash, just passing out. He's not looking good.
Get him! Get
okay.
him!
I'm going to spend one action to... that's uncontrolled. It's 100 feet. Is that still good?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to spend another action to force him to make a, I believe, a fortitude save.
This has been an Atomic Broadcasting production. Starfinder, The Pact Worlds, and The World Setting are all copyright of Paizo. For more information, visit paizo.com. While you're there, check out the Starfinder playtest. The PDF is free, and there's a survey to give you feedback. The music used is from Monument Studios Collection, as well as other assorted artists. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to check out our other productions on the Variety Hour feed, or our main show, The Written and the Lost, a weekly Pathfinder 2nd Edition show. All this and more can be found in the episode description. Don't forget to like, comment, and share with a friend. And most importantly, have an atomic time.
Okay, let's go.
Oh my gosh, Jenkins.
I'm sorry. Normally it's not on vibrate.
Turn your phone off.
It's normally not.
Silence your cell phone.
Was it at least important?
It was just a Reddit notification.
Oh, even worse. Okay, let's go.
Go away.
You don't know Jack.
Hi.
He's right there.
The small
furry cannibals is what he said.
That was it.
The small fur.
I can't say it.
You got this, Jack. One more time.
I believe in you.
The small furry cannibals as.
So
you
close.
Did it! You did it that time, whoa, but then you didn't stick the landing.
Okay, just say the small furry cannibals. Pause, and then say the rest of it.
Let us kill.
That's fair.
That's a blooper right yeah. there.
I love it.
Near, far, wherever you are.
The older they get, they just add an om nom to it. Yeah. And so eventually...
Oh, no, that one's an om nom 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 nom.
Quick, look out. It's an om nom 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 nom. What did you... Ah! It like, took too long to warn him. I'm sorry.
It's like 7 centuries of nom.
Wait, which one is it? Is it an om nom 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 or an om nom 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 nom?
At that point, does it really matter?
It's like Han Solo dodged a ton of bullets in episode 6, and he was blind.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Where?
Did he dodge missiles, though?
Yes. Boba Fett shot one missile, and it did not hit Han
That's
Solo.
True.
So technically, he did dodge a missile.
Why do people like Boba Fett? It sounds like he sucks.
He does.
Because he's cool.
That's fair. Looks cool.
Jack, how much damage are they taking?